I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. So, coming to the end of March, and then very soon we will be, we'll come to the end of autumn, and then we'll be going into winter. Now, I hope that you, my dear friends, are numbering your days. So very, very important to number our days. If we number our days and are very, very conscious of the quick passage of time, we are better inclined to prepare our hearts for the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or should our death precede His return, we will be very prepared to meet our Savior. Now, this morning, the subject is the faithful and wise servant. I speak from Luke chapter 2 and verses 41 to 48. But first, look at Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Please turn with me to that passage and look at verse 42. The faithful and wise servant. Look at verse 42 of Luke chapter 12. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? The faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Now, who is that faithful and wise steward? Now, what is faithfulness? I told you this story before about this shepherd who went with his little dog to the city of Edinburgh. And when he was there, he died. And then he was buried in a local cemetery. The dog of his didn't leave him. After this man was buried, this little dog sat on his grave and was there. Not just for 1-2 days, not just for a few months, but for 12 long years till the day it died. Yes, the passers-by were felt very sorry for this dog. They fed this dog with food and with water till the day the dog died. 12 long years. Now, what do you call that kind of service this dog had for its master? It's, of course, faithfulness. Now, we heard of this great man, a great servant of the Lord, George Mueller. George Mueller was the founder of many orphanages during the 19th century. And through his ministry, something like 8,000 orphans were ministered to. And this man prayed for another person. He prayed for his salvation for 52 long years until the day this man came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, what do you call that kind of behavior? Yes, this prayerful behavior of George Mueller. My dear friends, you call that faithfulness. And then there was this Welsh postman who served as a postman for 37 long years. And then he received this British Empire Medal from Queen Elizabeth. And he was awarded this special medal. You know why? For the 37 long years, he didn't miss a single day of work. Now, what do you call that, my dear friends? That's faithfulness. Now, then there was this in the Korean War, there was this soldier who buried himself in the mud pool in a pigsty. And just leaving his nose above the mud pool in order that he could breathe. So he did that because he didn't want to betray his fellow soldiers. Now, what do you call that? That's faithfulness. Yes. Now, what is faithfulness? It's actually quite hard to define. The Bible dictionary defines it as trustworthiness. Being true, being believable. That's what faithfulness is. I want to talk about three F's this morning. Faithfulness to God, and then failure in our duty, and finally, fairness of God in punishing and rewarding. Now, let's begin with the first letter, the letter F, faithfulness unto God. Verse 42 again, and verse 43. Verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them the portion of meat in due season? Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Who is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord will appoint as ruler of his household so that he could hand out the meals in the correct portions to the members of the household in the right season, meaning at the right time? Yes, that's a That's the kind of servant that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. And blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Shall find doing. Faithfulness must be reflected by doing. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Our Christianity is not a faith that just talks. It is not just a faith that hopes or wishes or a faith that just feels. It's not just that. It is a faith that does. It is a doing faith. Yes. It is a very practical religion. Some years ago, we had this theme for our church, Pray, Arise, and Do. Now, what was the purpose of this theme? The purpose was actually to encourage and to urge the members of our church to not just be praying, but after praying, to arise and actually do and carry out the will of the Lord. That is why we had that theme for that year. Now, if we pray and then we don't do, in effect, what we are doing is just paying lip service. That's all. Lip service. We are just talking about the subject that we are brought up to pray. That's all. Talking about that subject. It's not prayer, because very often prayer will be followed by action. Now, for example, we pray for the salvation of our loved ones or our friends. Are we sure that we are just not just talking about their need for salvation? Sometimes that's what we do. We bring the matter up for prayer. We are just praying about their need for salvation. Are we really praying that the Lord will act to save them? Now, if we are, my dear friends, you know what we'll do? We'll take action. We'll do something about making arrangements for our loved ones, of our friends, to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. So what are we doing, my dear friends, to help our loved ones, our friends, to hear the truth of the gospel so that they might be saved? And then what are we doing with regards to ourselves in showing forth more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, so that our friends, our loved ones for whom we have been praying, on looking at us, will be able to see Jesus in us and will be very attracted to the Savior that we have and will want to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? What are we doing about it, my dear friends, to show forth more of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in us and through us? Our faith, as I say, is a practical religion. So faithfulness must be demonstrated by action. Now you will remember this servant of Abraham, who was commissioned by Abraham to go to Padan Aram, the place where Abraham's relatives lived, to look for a bride for his son Isaac. Now this servant obeyed the master's commission, and he set forth a journey perhaps of about 800 kilometers or so. Now, there must have been thousands of girls in Padan Aram, right? Now, which was the right girl for Isaac? Now, this servant, of course, sought the Lord's will. He prayed, and he prayed very, very earnestly. And the Lord, in a very remarkable and marvelous way, showed to him that the right girl for Isaac was none other than Rebecca, a relative of Abraham. Now, after this servant had met with Rebecca's father and her brother, father Bethuel and brother Laban, Bethuel and Laban agreed to give the hand of Rebecca to Isaac. Now, upon receiving that kind of response from the father and brother of Rebecca, what did this servant do? Did he say, let me take it easy now. I more or less have accomplished my mission. Let me go sightseeing in this Padan Aram area. No, he did not, my dear friends. Yes, and this was what he said. No mucking around as far as he was concerned. Let me read this to you, okay, from a passage in Genesis 24, verses 54 to 56. If you are quick enough, refer to them. If not, never mind, I read for you. Genesis 24, verse 54. And they did eat and drink. They meaning to say, the servant of Abraham and his fellow servants who went with him, and Bethuel and Laban and possibly other relatives of Rebekah, did eat and drink. He and the men that were with him, the men were his fellow servants, the fellow servants of this chief servant. and tarried all night, and they arose up in the morning. And he said, the servant said, send me away unto my master. My master is Abraham. And her brother and her mother said, her brother, meaning to say Rebecca's brother and Rebecca's mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days. Let Rebecca stay a few days. Yes, at the least 10 days. After that she shall go. Verse 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Send me away. He was not going to stay 1 minute longer than was necessary. And so he said, send me away. This man must accomplish the business that he set up to do, which his master Abraham had sent him up to perform. Yes, he was very, very faithful. And he demonstrated his faithfulness by what? Of course, by his action, by his doing. Now, so the question for all of us is this. What do we wish to do for the Lord? What do we want to do for the Lord? Yes, what do we feel like doing for the Lord? To give out a gospel tract? To give the gospel to some people? Or to encourage some people in the faith? Or to visit the sick? Or to offer some kind of practical help to those brothers and sisters who are in need of help? Or to show people some Christian love? My dear friends, let not our wishes, our hopes, and our dreams, and our fizzle out into nothing. Let us be faithful to the Lord. And how do we show that we are faithful to the Lord? Not by wishful thinking, not by talking, but by doing. Let us be doing. That's how we show our faithfulness unto the Lord. So bear that in mind, my dear friends. We want to be faithful to the Lord. Show our faithfulness by doing, and not just by talking, and not just by wishing, and not just by hoping. Now, according to this passage, who must be faithful? Now, notice Peter asked this question, verse 41 of Luke 12. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? So, is this parable for us, the disciples, or is it for all? Now, this parable was on faithfulness. Now, preceding this chapter, this passage, the Lord was talking about his second coming. And the Lord was urging his disciples to be very, very well prepared for his return. And say, I will come as a thief in the night. Be very well prepared. Yes, that was what the Lord was urging the disciples to do. Yes, now notice. You see that the Lord actually didn't answer Peter. Peter was saying, Lord, is this parable directed to us or is it directed to everybody? The answer is very obvious. The Lord did not answer Peter which means that this parable is for all, not just for the disciples, but for all the hearers and for all of us here this morning. Yes, if that is, the point is this. If we, not just pastors, not just preachers of the gospel, not just leaders, not just teachers, are given responsibilities in the service of the Lord, we are all expected to be faithful. Yes, the message is for all. Faithfulness is for everyone to show, and not just for some people. Now, however, in this passage, there is particular reference to those who have greater responsibilities, such as preachers of the gospel. Now, the Lord talks about one who is a steward, who will be made ruler over his household. So, he was actually talking about people who are holding greater responsibilities. So, you look at verse 42 again. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them the portion of meat in due season? So, he's talking about people who are appointed to be rulers of his household. So, they are people assigned with greater responsibilities. And these people are to give the members of the household the right portion that is due to them. He's the manager of the household, and he's to give out the right portion of food to those people who are in the household. And he's expected to do that faithfully. Yes. Now, the minister of the gospel. What's the lesson, my dear friends? the lesson essentially is this. The minister of the gospel must see to it that he prepares well the messages that he's going to prepare to preach, or the lessons he's going to teach. Yes, the steward is expected to be faithful to make sure that the portions given up are the right portions. Not too much, not too little, at the right time. Likewise, when preachers prepare their messages, they must make sure that the portion that they give, or the portions that they give, are not too much, not little, just right. And also at the right time, in the due season. Now, not only is this required for ministers, yes, to give the right portion to those who are under the charge at the right time, it is given to us who have the responsibility of teaching God's word, the responsibility of handling God's word. Therefore, all teachers, Bible study leaders, must see that they are indeed the faithful stewards that the Lord wants them to be. Each one must prepare his lesson well. Understand, we are not just going to the room, the classroom, to just routinely cover the lesson, right? Very often we use this phrase, I just want to cover this lesson. No, it's not just that. We're not just going to the classroom to cover a lesson. No, we are going there to handle God's word, to teach God's word. Yeah, we are going into the classroom to feed those who are under our charge spiritual food, the word of God. Yes, and we must make sure that we give the right portion. Now, the great C.A. Spurgeon, we know, was a great preacher. But he said this. He said, whenever he was ascending the pulpit, his knees would knock. Now, was it because he was nervous and fearful of the congregation? He said, no, it wasn't that. It was just that he realized the grave responsibility that he was entrusted with. He said, on these words that I preach, hang the eternal destiny of my hearers. And it was because of this grave responsibility that he realized he had, that his knees shook when he ascended the pulpit. So, my dear friends, let us realize that all teachers, preachers, and Bible study leaders, we have a grave responsibility on the word that we bring to those who are under our charge, might hang the eternal destiny of those people whom we are responsible for. Now, what about parents? Parents must also see themselves as stewards of the household of God. You are responsible. You are assigned the responsibility to feed those who are under your charge, those who are in your home. You are the spiritual leader in the home. You are the pastor of the home. So what should you do? You should also be very, very well prepared when you teach your children Bible lessons, or when you are having the family worship with them. Don't just rush through as a matter of routine, but be very well prepared for it. Know what you're reading. Know what you're going to talk to your children about or your family about. Give them the right portion. That is what your responsibility is. Yes, if you want to be a faithful steward as a parent, that is what you must be doing. Now, having faithfulness unto God is wise. All right? So the Lord says, who then is that faithful and wise? So a faithful steward is a wise steward. Yes? Now, he is wise. You know what he's called a wise steward? He's called a wise steward because he's a doing steward and not just a talking steward. He's wise because he's like his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ did not just go about talking good. Did you realize that? Of course he talked good. But he also went about doing good. And that's what the Word of God says about what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his ministry. We are told in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. When Peter was talking to Cornelius, giving the gospel to him, he was describing to him the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Cornelius was a Gentile centurion who was wanting to believe in Jesus. And so Peter gave him the gospel, and he explained to him the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this was what Peter said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and who went about doing good You see, not just talking good, but went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. And don't forget, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. So if we are like the Lord Jesus Christ doing good, we are being wise, like the Lord Jesus Christ who went about doing good. You see, by doing good, we would, by doing good, the good that we have been assigned to do, we will be bringing fruits for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are bringing fruits for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will be glorifying his holy name. And if we are glorifying the name of the one true living God, we are being wise. John 15 verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." You bear much fruit, you glorify the name of the Lord. So, why are we said to be wise? If we are doing good, bearing much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are said to be wise because we are glorifying the name of the Lord. You know what that means? It means that you really know the real purpose of life. Because what's the real purpose of life? The real meaning of life. The real meaning of life is to glorify the name of the Lord. Did you realize that? Yes, if you want to know what the real meaning of life is, it is to glorify the name of the Lord. So a person, if he goes about doing good, bringing fruits for the Lord, glorifying his name, he really knows the real meaning of life because he's glorifying the name of the Lord. Having, we sometimes hear what how people lament concerning about their knowing or not knowing the real purpose of life. Sometimes you might hear people say, "Oh, I spent 5 years in medical school, and I do not know why I spent those 5 years in medical school. For what?" You know, they say that. And then haven't we heard people say, "What's the meaning of all these things that I'm doing? I really do not know the meaning of all these things." Now, I believe I told you about this friend of mine who was actually doing very well in his work. Yes, he was making good money working for the company that he worked for. He was traveling in and out of China. One day when he was in one of those capital cities in China, he was on a platform in a railway station about to take a train to go to a remote part of China. And then when he was on the platform, he asked himself some very, very depressing questions. You know what he asked? He said this, and he told me this. He said, "What am I doing here? For what? Standing on this platform, going to a remote part of China to do my work. What am I doing here? What's the meaning of all these things that I'm doing?" My dear friends, don't forget, this man was a very successful man. He was making good money, not that he wasn't. And yet he asked those questions because he realized that all those things that he was doing was not really giving him the real meaning of life. Now, would not a person be very, very foolish if he does not know the real meaning of life? He's indeed very, very foolish. Now, but not a faithful steward. A faithful steward is very, very wise. You know why? Because he goes about doing good just like his master did. Yes, and he goes about doing good. He brings forth fruits for the master, and he brings honor and glory to the master. And he does that, and he's very, very happy, because he knows the real meaning of life, which is to glorify the name of the Lord. So I ask you this morning, are you glorifying the Lord? Are you? Now, if you are not glorifying the Lord in your life, you really do not know the real meaning of life. The real meaning of life, or our Westminster Confession says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him. My dear friends, if you do not know these truths, you do not know the real meaning of life. Now, if you really want to know the real meaning of life, come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Receive him into your heart. Put him first place in your life. Do everything for his honor and for his glory. My dear friends, that is the real meaning of life. Now, the faithful servant is wise because the faithful servant will be rewarded. He realizes that there is going to be a reward for him. So he serves faithfully. Verse 43 and verse 44, Luke 12. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. All right, find so doing. In other words, faithfully serving the Lord as a steward, handing out the portions, the right portions for the servants and the maidens in the household. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. That's what the master would do. Now you remember in the account, the parable told by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 19 about this nobleman who went to a far country. He gave each of his servants 10 pounds, 1 pound each. Yes, there were 10 servants, each one received 1 pound. Then he went to this far country, and then sometime later, he came back. And when he came back, that was the day of reckoning. The one servant traded his 1 pound, and he got another 10 pounds. And so he was much rewarded. The master was very pleased with him, and he made him the ruler of 10 cities. Another servant traded his 1 pound and got 5 pounds in addition. The master was very pleased with him and made him ruler of 5 cities. Now, another servant did nothing with his 1 pound. He just went to hide his pound. And for that, the nobleman ordered that his pound be taken away from him and be given to the one who had traded his pound and got 10 pounds. Now, the lesson is clear, my dear friends. We will be rewarded according to our faithfulness. Now, let's understand that in heaven, there will be different levels of glory. Yes? And let us not think that this glory in heaven is not important. Let us not think that rewards are not important. I say that they are important. You know why? Now, if they are not important, you think the Lord Jesus Christ would talk so much about rewards in heaven? Surely not. So the rewards are very, very important. Let us not say that, I'm very, very happy if one day I get to heaven and I'm appointed as a road sweeper in heaven. Some people say that. No, they say that not because of anything else, but I dare believe that it was not just out of humility, but very often to give excuse for their slothfulness. That's the real reason. That's why they say, I don't mind, go to heaven, let me be a dishwasher, it doesn't matter. Let me be a road sweeper, it doesn't matter. I'm already there. But friends, rewards are important. That is why the Lord talks about rewards. So let us aim for rewards. Nothing wrong with aiming for rewards. It would be good, my dear friends, if we could be aiming for all the crowns which the Lord Jesus Christ talks about. Hopefully we'll get one of them, alright? The crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of life. May the Lord, by His grace, grant us crowns. And they will be granted to us if we are faithful in our service to Him. And these crowns are not for us to glorify ourselves. No, my dear friends, the Lord wants us to earn these crowns and one day place these crowns at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And surely, my dear friends, it is wise of us to spend these few years that we have on this earth to be in faithful service unto the Lord, and then in return get that wonderful eternal glory which the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to us. Any businessman will tell you that that is a wise investment, very, very wise. You put in a small investment and the glory that you are going to get is immensely, immensely great. It is eternal, something unimaginably great. Yes, that is wise investment. So will we not be the wise businessman or wise spiritual businessman or businesswoman that the Lord wants us to be? Now let's go on to the next F, which is failure in our duty unto the Lord. All right, first one is faithfulness unto the Lord. The second F is failure in our duty unto the Lord. Verses 45 and 46. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Who are those who would fail in their duty unto the Lord? There are people who say, my Lord delayeth in his coming, and shall begin to beat the menservants and maidens and to eat and drink and to be drunken. They could be leaders in the church. Yes, they could be saying, my Lord delayeth in his coming. In other words, they do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back soon. And perhaps they do not even believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is ever going to come back. Yes, that's the position I dare believe that many false ministers take today. Now, whichever form of unbelief these unbelieving ministers have, it is still unbelief. Now, what kind of gospel would they preach if they don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back? For sure, my dear friends, yes, they will fail in their duty to preach the gospel of truth. There will be no preaching about the visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no preaching about the resurrection from the dead. There will be no preaching about the preaching about the need for repentance. Yes, there will be no preaching about the rapture that is going to take place with regards to the saints that are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the cloud. There will be no such preaching. Now, what gospel will such people preach? I dare say no gospel at all. Now, if I were a preacher of that kind of gospel, which is no gospel at all, you know what I will be telling you today? I'll be telling you this, and these, my dear friends, are happening in many modern liberal churches today. I'll tell you this, let's go to Canberra, let's rally together and put pressure on the government to do this and to do that, or not to do this or not to do that. Yes, let us pressure the government to sign the greenhouse effect agreement, all right, if there is such an agreement to sign. Or then they will say, oh, let's campaign for euthanasia, put pressure on the government to endorse euthanasia. Or then they may say, let's campaign against the government, then put pressure on the government to withdraw their decision on the reduction of corporate tax, and so forth. Yes. Now, if such preachers preach that kind of gospel, do you not think that they are worse than those servants or stewards who beat up their servants in the home? I dare say that they are worse. You know why? Because they are misleading people who come to church into believing that the gospel is not a spiritual gospel but a social gospel. And this kind of gospel is not the gospel. This kind of gospel is sending people to hell. And this kind of, if people were to preach that kind of gospel, they are actually worse than stewards who beat up servants and maidens in the Lord's household. Now, the health and wealth gospel are just as bad, or even worse. Because, you know, in all appearances, they look like true preachers of the gospel, the preachers of the health and wealth. But the problem with them is that they do not place enough emphasis or the right emphasis on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not place enough emphasis on the need for repentance. And so they give people a false sense of security. People hearing those messages would think that they are saved, when in actual fact, they are not saved. One day, Brother Charles actually asked this question at one of our Agape gathering meetings. He asked whether the health and wealth gospel is a cult, the health and wealth gospel movement is a cult. My answer to that question was no. But actually, they are worse than cults. At least when you see cults, you know they are cults. They are preaching untruth. But you see, the health and wealth gospel appears to be the true gospel. And people believe that kind of gospel. And when they believe that kind of gospel and there is no true repentance, my dear friends, in actual fact, they do not have salvation. They are heading for eternal hell. And such preachers of the gospel, my dear friends, do you not think that they are really worse than stewards who beat up servants and maidens in the household of the Lord? They are worse. Then, what would people generally do when they think that the Lord is delaying in his coming or not returning? All right? What would people do? The Lord delays in his coming, he's not returning. That's what they think. What would people do? Now, you remember the case of the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses was up on Mount Sinai to receive God's Ten Commandments, and he was up there for 40 days, 40 nights. And then the children of Israel said, Moses has delayed in his coming down. So what did they do? They put pressure on Aaron to force him to erect a golden calf so that they could worship the golden calf. Why did they do that? They did that because they wanted to have the license to sin. They wanted to have the license to practice their sexual orgies. That's why they put pressure on Aaron to raise up the golden calf. And so we read in Exodus 32, verse 6, I read that for you. And they rose up early, meaning to say the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai, rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings unto whom? Not unto God, but unto the golden calf. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and to rose up to play. Yes, they rose up to play. They had their sexual orgies. So it is not surprising that the Lord should be saying this in verse 45. You look at verse 45. Yes. For, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to what? Same thing, right? Eat, drink, and to be drunken. People will eat, drink, and be drunken. They will sin if they do not think that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come soon, or that he will not come. Yes, they think that there is not going to be a judgment after they pass away from this earth. Yes, and so the natural reaction or the natural response is people will sin. Now, I remember years ago working for this company that I worked for, and every year the boss would go home for his home leave, and his home leave would last for 1 month in America. Yes. And during the time when he was away, all of us, of course, understood that the boss was away for 1 month. He won't be back for 1 month. And so what happened in the office? Everybody was so relaxed. All right? Everybody was taking everything so easy. Right? He would not be coming back for a month. But if we knew that the boss was just going to be away for a short time, let's say he went downtown to have a business meeting, you think we dare to behave that way? No, friends. We will all be on our toes because we knew that at any time the boss might just appear in the office. Everybody will be kept on his toes. My friends, we must live our lives as if we are expecting, or we must live our lives with the expectation that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ might return any time. Yes, he will come, as he says, as a thief in the night. The Lord of that servant will come in the day, verse 46. The Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in the hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, let us see that there is fairness in the punishment handed down by the Lord. The last F. Fairness in the punishment handed down by the Lord. First, let us realize that our God punishes. People say that this God of ours is the God of love and therefore he doesn't punish. That's untrue, because this God of ours is also the holy God. He will hand down his punishment because he's holy and he's righteous. If he doesn't hand down punishment, then he's not righteous, he's not holy. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is true, while he was on this earth, was meek and mild. Yes, and when he went to the cross, yes, he showed his lowliness of heart, his mind, his mildness. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And the word of God tells us that as the sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And that's absolutely true. Now that is with reference to his first coming. But when he comes again, my dear friends, this time he's going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to come to judge the earth. Yes, and when he comes this time, my dear friends, he will not be coming as a helpless little babe to be born in the city of Bethlehem. No, my dear friends, he will come as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and as the judge. And he will judge the earth. And during the time of the great tribulation that will take place in the future, now, this is going to happen. Those of us who do not know about the tribulation, this is going to come in the future. In the future, there will be 7 years of tribulation that will be taking place on planet Earth. The saints of the Lord who believe in the Lord would have been taken up to be with the Lord in the air. And then The rest will be left behind to face the wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb. Now let me read to you this wrath. Alright, maybe it's good for us to turn to this verse, then you will see the seriousness of it. Revelation 6:16. 6:16. I bring this up to you to tell you that the Lord will hand out punishment. Alright? Revelation 6:16. Alright. I read for you. And said to the mountains and rocks, these are people on planet Earth during the time of the Great Tribulation, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Can you imagine? A Lamb is supposed to be meek and mild, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here it is stated, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. In other words, people at that time would wish they could die. Let the rocks and the mountains fall on us so that we do not have to face the wrath of the Lamb. But death will not come to them. Yes? So, my dear friends, there is such a thing as the wrath of the Lamb. God will surely hand down his punishment. Now, then you will remember at the foot of Mount Sinai, the incident I talked about. Now, what did God do to those people who worshipped the golden calf? God handed down his judgment upon them. And this was the instruction that he gave to Moses to tell the children of Israel. This was what is recorded. Let me read for you. Moses said to the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate through the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. He's talking about all those people who had worshipped the golden calf. The order was given to the other children of Israel to go up to slay them. And the people who responded were the Levites. They went out and they slew all these people who worshipped the golden calf. And this order was given by the one true living God. Now, who is this God, you might ask? Now, remember, this God was the one who called Moses to serve. Now, this God identified himself as what? What was his name? Or what is his name? I am the great I am. Alright, I am. Now then in the New Testament, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself as? Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus referred to himself as the great I am. So I dare to say that this Lord God of Israel who gave the instruction to Moses to tell the children of Israel to go and kill all those people who worship the golden calf, I dare believe that he was none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is capable of punishing, of handing out down judgment. Now to the unbelievers who think that he will delay his return, or who do not believe that he will ever return, his word says, the Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion or his place with the unbelievers. And where would unbelievers go? What would be the portion of the unbelievers? Unbelievers will go to hell. And those who do not believe that the Lord is going to return soon are going to find themselves to be in the same place as unbelievers. And where is that place, my dear friends? That is hell. Yes. Now, let us see there are different levels of punishment. You look at verses 47 and 48, you see there are different levels of punishment. Verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, these are people who knew or who know the will of God. But verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. So verse 48 talks about people who did not know the will of God, those people who did not know the truth. You might say those people who did not hear the truth of the gospel. So what does that teach us, friends? It teaches us that ignorance is no excuse. You cannot say, I do not know, Lord, therefore I should not be condemned. Ignorance is no excuse. The truth of the matter is, whether you have heard the gospel or you have never heard the gospel before, you are already condemned. That's what the Lord says. Whether you have heard the gospel or if you have never heard the gospel, you are already condemned because you are a born sinner. All of us are born sinners. Right? I quote this verse to you from John chapter 3, verse 18. Alright, John 3:18, let me read this for you. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Alright, it is not because you don't believe that you're condemned. You are condemned already. So ignorance is no excuse because we are born sinners. And with the sinful nature, if we are unrepentant, we are already condemned. And then, what about those who know God's will but do it not? My dear friends, they will be beaten not with few stripes but with many stripes. Look at verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Recognize this truth. My dear friends, you who have been coming to this church week after week, I said many a time that nobody knows your heart. Maybe you know your heart yourself, or maybe you think that you know your heart. But friends, the one who knows your heart is the one true living God. So the question is, alright, you know. The question is, are you doing the will of the Lord, or are you not doing the will of the Lord? Are you in a real position, in the position in which you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, if you haven't come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, after hearing the word of God so many times, my dear friends, you are actually in a worse state than the person, the younger man who has never heard the gospel before on the day of judgment. My dear friends, you are in a worse position than that person. So friends, why don't you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today? Make very, very sure that you really know the Lord, you know the will of the Lord, and you're really doing the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord is for you to really come and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Receive Him into your heart. Now, if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, you know His will, my dear friends, of course, you will have a place in heaven. Come and believe in Him today, and then use the rest of your life on this earth to be of use for Him, to serve Him faithfully. Now, what does the Lord value most from us? What He values most from us is faithfulness. And our faithfulness must be reflected by our actions, by our doing. Because our faith is not just a talking kind of faith, not just a hoping kind of faith, not a wishing kind of faith, not a feeling kind of faith. But dear friends, our belief, our faith is a very, very practical faith. Yes? And the Lord expects us to be very, very faithful. He expects us to be doing what He wants us to do. We must be trustworthy in doing good. We must be true, and we must be believable in doing good. And verse 43 says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And then, the faithful are wise. They are wise because they are acting like what the Lord acted. Yes, they are wise because they glorify the name of the Lord by their good works. They bring forth good fruits. And they are wise because by their bringing fruits for the Lord Jesus Christ, they are glorifying the name of the Lord. And if they are glorifying the name of the Lord, they are very, very wise because they actually know the purpose of life. By glorifying the Lord, they actually are showing that they know the purpose of life. And because they know the purpose of life, they are actually very, very wise. Then those who fail in their duty are those who fail, who say that the Lord delays in His return, or that the Lord is not returning. They are filled with unbelievers, filled with unbelief. Now, ministers of such unbelief, with such unbelief, are not to be listened to, my dear friends. They are false preachers. If you listen to them, you believe the gospel that they preach, my dear friends, you end up where they end up. And that is eternal hell. Now then, if we ourselves think the Lord's delay is delaying His coming or returning, the result will be very obvious. We have seen. Yes? So, what should we be doing, my dear friends? Let us recognize this truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning very, very soon. and then use every ounce of our strength with this belief that he's going to return soon to serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and do so faithfully. Now, then there are different levels of rewards, as there are different levels of punishment. Yes, those who know God's will and who do not do his will, they will receive severe punishment. And those who do not know his will and do not believe, my dear friends, ignorance is no excuse. They too will be punished. But those who know his will but do not do his will, they will receive greater punishment. God is very, very fair. He will hand down the right kind of punishment. But the point is this. Why look forward to punishment? Why don't look forward to the day when we are able to come before him and hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Why don't we look forward to that? And we can look forward to that if today we come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, serve him faithfully for the rest of our life. And when we see him face to face, that is exactly what we are going to hear from him. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, we thank you for calling us into your service. Help us, O Lord God, to be the faithful servant that you want us to be. Help us not to be failing in our duty. O Lord God, we pray that what you are looking for in us is faithfulness. Enable us, O Lord God, by the power of your mighty Holy Spirit, to obey your word, to do your will, to glorify your holy name. Lord, we pray that you will teach us so that we may be indeed a very, very wise people, doing your will faithfully, glorifying your holy name. Father, we also want to pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, who do not know, who might know what it means to do your will, but still do not want to come and commit their lives into your hands. We pray that you will save them in accordance with your mercies today. For we pray and ask all these things with thanksgiving in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.